Well, we have a bit of a surprise this morning. Steve and Barbara just came up to me and informed me that we're going to be having somebody speak to us from all the way from Africa over speakerphone. So Steven's just getting them on the phone right now, hopefully. Trying to. So we'll just be patient and wait. Maybe it will work, maybe it won't. I love the wonders of modern technology.
Does anyone have overseas calling on their cell phone?
Anyone want to admit it?
Why not? Okay. If he calls back, then maybe we'll just pause to have him. All right. Well, if we're fortunate enough to have him call back and wonder why aren't they calling me, then we're going to get him over speakerphone. It's going to be Todd. We're going to get him over the speakerphone, kind of give us an update on what's happening with the team in Africa. Well, this morning, it's Father's Day. So, happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are out there. Of course, Father's Day is near and dear to my heart, being a father myself, and certainly with the privilege of being able to do men's fraternity over the past couple of years, fatherhood is certainly something that is central to men's fraternity, and so near and dear to my heart for a couple of reasons already mentioned. But before we get started today, I'd just like to take a moment and just pray and ask the Lord just to kind of come and be with us here. So let's just do that. Well, Heavenly Father, we are privileged to be able to come into your house here this morning and to become and partake in the fellowship that we can have with you. And Lord Jesus, this morning we want to acknowledge you. We want to acknowledge the Heavenly Father on this Father's Day. And we just ask that you would come and fill this place with the love of the Father. That the love of the Father would permeate every heart that is here this morning. Lord, we just pray over this word this morning that it would be a word that would pierce our hearts. And we just give you honor and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to open up this Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. We just get that up on the screen. Proverbs chapter 17 and 6 in the latter half says, "The glory of children is their fathers." The glory of children is their fathers. Now, every time I read this scripture, it always... Oh, we got them live? Okay, well, we're going to interject here. And we're going to get our live report. Feels a bit like the news. Broadcasting live from Africa.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? All right, I'm not sure if I'm on now. So maybe you could give me some kind of signal. Okay. Well, hello everyone. I know this is a bit of a novel experience. Modern technology. This is Todd here, and we are in Kenya, Africa, under a beautiful starry sky. We're pretty much on the equator. And just thinking of you so much today, of all the days to be away, I terribly miss being away on Sundays when the whole church family is gathered. But just want to let you know that we are having a really good time. We were with Pastor Sammy first for a couple of days, and he started a little orphanage of 19 boys. There were people there repairing and fixing the place up, and for them, he also started a little school for the poorest of the poor. and 129 children, and we went able to see them all, and you could almost hardly imagine what they're wearing or not wearing, and just every teacher is caring for them, and he somehow finds a way to employ these Christian teachers, and it was just a great experience. Even a cow that I had spent the money for a cow, only to get to Kenya and find out that all the kids know this cow as Reverend Todd. That's the name of the cow. And that's a little embarrassing. And so now we went on to Uganda for a day and saw Sophie's family. And that was wonderful. Saw lots of children of AIDS victims. Their parents have died through AIDS. And so various projects that were caring for them and projects that we've been supporting from a distance, and just had a wonderful day today. You'd be so proud to have heard hear Bruce preach the gospel today, the good news that God is our Father and has shown us this in Jesus. He just preached masterfully. So happy Father's Day to everybody. Of course, to Pastor Bill, happy Father's Day. To my father, happy Father's Day, and to all the men there. And we're going on tomorrow. We're going up to the Turkana Desert, so it'll be kind of the toughest and most rugged and remote part of our trip. And so to say hi, tell Mariak and those from Sudan that we're going to Kakamas, to the United Nations refugee camp, one of the largest in the world. And many of the people in Lethbridge that originate in Sudan left it via this camp. And so we're going to be right there in that camp. And so tell Mariak we'll be in familiar territory to her. So it's hoping all this is coming through okay. Absolutely love our home church and miss you and feel your prayers and support. And we're just having such an effective time. The Lord is just with us so strong, and it's just wonderful to see, even in a couple of days, the missionaries, and to see them revitalized and encouraged, and deep relationships formed. Daniel and Marlies Koekteleng, who are originally from Holland and now here, have a wonderful team, and they are so thankful that this is reestablishing the connection with our church. And they say hi to Jeremy and Chanel and to Joe and to all the people that they know in Lethbridge. So I hope this is coming through okay, and we have a week remaining, so please keep an eye on my family. And tell my beloved wife I love her and my kids. And we love our church family and look forward to being home in a week and to seeing shortly. Keep an eye on Ryan. Tell me if he's preaching heresy. Okay? And I'm sure he'll be great. Okay? So love you all very much. And we look forward to seeing you very, very shortly. Bye-bye for now.
I don't know if you heard that, but hopefully that's good. So if we can just keep them in our prayers, they are, as Todd mentioned, they are going into a very sort of treacherous kind of area in the desert. They're going to a refugee camp, one of the largest refugee camps in the area. So do keep them in your prayers as they go there. So to come back to what I was saying, we're the glory of children is their fathers. As I think about this scripture, oftentimes there's a funny story that comes to mind, and it wasn't one that I was able to hear myself. I got it through my wife. But a few years back, when my son Josiah was about 2.5 years old, he was hanging out with a friend of his, Levi, and they were having a discussion about their dads. And so the discussion kind of went along these lines. I'm not sure how it arrived to it, but the gist of it is that they got to the point in the conversation where they were talking about what their dads did for a living. Now, for those of you who don't know me, my previous life and my life over the summer is as a car salesman as well. So I worked in the automotive industry for 7.5 years, and to a little 2.5-year-old boy, a dad that works with cars, that's pretty cool, right? My dad works with cars. To drive them, sell them. Well, this other little boy, he was a good friend of ours. His name was Levi. His dad owned Tim Hortons. And so they got these two little boys together, and they're sitting there having this discussion about whose dad's job is the best. So my son says, my dad's job is the best job because he gets to sell cars. And the other little boy goes, no, 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 my dad's job is the best job because he gets to sell donuts. So it's always funny to me to hear this. You know, little children, they look at their dads, and when they're little, they look at their dads, and their dads are their world. Their dads are everything. I mean, dad is virtually untouchable. He's super strong, and he's all of these things. And so when we read Proverbs, that's where this comes from. The glory of children is their fathers. It's always interesting to me how little kids just tend to have these high opinions of their dads at an early age. You hear conversations on the playground like, my daddy's bigger than your daddy, or my daddy can beat up your daddy, or, you know, you get these conversations with the little kids on the playground, and they've always got these grandiose imaginations about their fathers. And it seems that their glory comes from the reflection of their father in their lives. And many of us, in our imaginations, have probably pictured our fathers in similar ways. As a courageous warrior or a brave knight, the one with the strength to rescue us from all of our adversities. And at the same time, we've all been let down by our earthly fathers. So let's talk about our earthly fathers for a little while. As we kind of look at our earthly fathers, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that there is a wide-reaching influence that dad has in our lives, either consciously or unconsciously. Every one of us has been touched by dad in one way or another. Some of us have been fortunate enough to have dads who were actively engaged in our lives. Dads that helped us with our homework. Dads that took us to our games or took us to our recitals. Dads that, when you got home from school, would ask you, how are things at school? What kind of conversations did you have? What kind of things took place in your life? What are you interested in? What are the things that get you excited? And for some of us, that's the kind of dad that we've had. For others of us, we've had dads who were there physically, but emotionally they were checked out. So we would come home from school, or dad would come home from work, and next thing we know, dad's taking his hat off, he's hanging it on the coat rack, he walks into the den, turns on the television, and dad's not there. He might be there physically, but you can't have a conversation with him. He's not the kind of dad that's going to ask you how your day was, or he's not going to ask you what was happening in your life, and maybe sitting at the dinner table was a bit of a chore. And then for others of us, we still had dads that were non-existent, either because of divorce or death or maybe even abandonment. And these are the three types of dads in general that we see today. And whatever the case, we're all affected by our dad's influence or lack thereof. And in many cases, how we view our earthly father is how we view our heavenly father. If we've had a good relationship with our fathers growing up, then a good relationship with our heavenly father is a naturally occurring transition. However, if we've had a less than desirable relationship with our dad, then our transition to our heavenly father, the relationship that we had, that view, we transfer that onto our heavenly father. And it's these lenses of hurt that we view our father through that hopefully today, by addressing these, we can shed some light not only on the amazing goodness of our Father, but also on how we might relate to our Heavenly Father through the relationship that He had with Jesus Himself. So I'd like now to turn to John chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to discuss the role of Father and Son as modeled by the Father and the Son, our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus. And so we're going to read from John chapter 15, verse 19 and 20a. And it says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing. Now this text holds a lot of significant theological deep things in it about the relationship of the Son and the Father, about the equality and the divinity. And these are all things that are excellent, but what I want to narrow in on today is the relationship that the Son has with the Father. And that's what I want to talk about right now. And there are a few things in this particular verse of Scripture that stand out to me the most. The first of which is that the Son is attentively watching the Father. Now, if you remember, we mentioned earlier that the glory of children is their fathers. And if you remember the little kids, they watch their dads. And they look at their dads, and then they want to be their dads, and everything, their world is surrounded by their dads. And here we see a similar picture. We see Jesus, the Son, attentively watching the Father. And in like manner, our children do the same with us. Our children attentively watch us as dads to see, what are we doing? How do we react to situations? How do we handle things? Who do we go to? The second point is that the Son is doing what He sees the Father doing. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. So He's attentively watching the Father. And He's doing what He sees His Father doing. And in like manner, our children do the same. Our children watch us and they mimic our behaviors and our attitudes. Now, I told this story a little earlier. I'm a lot like my dad in a lot of ways. And for my wife, that's horrible. Because my dad is a fairly corny guy. He likes to tell corny jokes. I like to tell corny jokes. He likes to do goofy things. I like to do goofy things. And my wife says to me one day, she says, "Sean, I didn't marry your father." And I said to her, "Well, honey, I'm sorry." But it's true, we mimic our fathers. We look at their behavior. We look at how they act and how they speak and what they do in life. And it's inevitable that those things, we mimic them as children and we grow into them and they become part of who we are. And even in some cases, what's really funny, my dad has a brother that he didn't find out about until probably about 15 years ago. And you put the two together, and you would never know that they never grew up together because they all have the same kind of humor and they all say the same kind of things. So no matter what we do, even if we were to didn't have dad around to mimic him, that part of dad is still in us. And we still mimic oftentimes who our fathers are. And the third point I'd like to point out here is that the Son acts in confidence because of the Father's love. I mean, it's a pretty bold statement for a son to say, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that He Himself is doing. The Father loves the Son. It's a very powerful thing for a son to say, I know my Father loves me. I know He loves me. And to be able to act in that kind of confidence is a very powerful thing. But in like manner, the Father is actively engaged in the Son's life. So we see here that the Father is showing him what to do by leading. Because it says here, the Son does likewise. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Son is watching His Father, but the Father is actually showing the Son, this is how we do it. This is how we engage in people's lives. This is how we do these things. And the Son is watching His Father, and His Father is leading. And the second point is that the Father gives His Son the opportunity to do likewise. So not only does the Father, our Heavenly Father, say to the Son, here's what I'm doing. Now He says, okay, you go do it. You go do it. You can do this. You go do it. And the third point is that pouring out His love on the Son, giving the Son the full confidence of the Father, is what the Father does. So the Son knew He could go in full confidence because He knew He had the Father's love. There was a story that we came across in men's fraternity, which was, it was an interesting story. It was a story about a mixed family. It was a woman who had a couple of boys, and she didn't have a husband, and she ended up marrying this other gentleman. And this gentleman, he never put himself out there as these boys' father. He never called himself their father. But he took on the active role of being a father in these young boys' lives. And it's amazing what the love of a father can do. The story went that this young boy, he was just a scrawny teenager, not cut out really for football at all. He was just really skinny and wiry. And you know, when you're playing football, you really want the big blocky guys that are heavy and sturdy and can, you know, be the wall. And as they were on their way to a football game this one day, this man reached over and he put his hand on this young man's leg and he said, "You know what? You're strong. You can do this." And then the next thing that took place is this young man had all of this energy all of a sudden from he didn't know where. And he played this football game and he tore through the lines and he played the best game he ever played. He caught all the catches, did everything he could. He was the best football player he could be. Because this man decided to take on the role of a father and speak love into this young man's life. And later on, the story went that this young man wrote this father a letter and basically told him that even though he wasn't his natural father, he was his father. And as a gift to this man, he actually took on the name of that man as his own. And that's the power that the love of a father can have on a son or a daughter. And that's the type of intentionality our Heavenly Father has with us. So for those of us who are fathers here, what can we learn from this particular interaction into the Scripture? Number one is that our children are watching us. It doesn't matter what age we are, our children watch us to see how we behave, react, or interact in certain situations. Learning from our example how they ought to think and act and feel. Even to this day, I watch my father to see how he'll react. I'm 31 years old. And a lot of times, I'll be honest, I feel like a kid raising kids. Right? You think a guy 31 years old could have all this stuff figured out, but I don't have it figured out. I'm just on a journey. So my dad, I'm here, my dad's here, and I'm watching him to see how is my dad going to react to this situation? How is he going to handle this circumstance? What is his reaction? What is his motive? Who does he go to when he encounters certain situations in life? I'm 31 years old. I watch my dad. Is it adequate? Is it appropriate? Number two is that our children will mimic what we do. Oftentimes I catch myself, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, acting or behaving just like my father before me, which oftentimes freaks me out. I find myself saying things that my dad used to say to me, to my kids. My little kids will come up to me, "Daddy, I'm thirsty. Nice to meet you, thirsty on Friday." My dad says that. So we mimic our fathers. Whether I like it or not, this is something I've acquired from him. Third point is that knowing these two things, we as fathers need to take up the challenge of leading. Leading our children like our Heavenly Father led his Son. By A, becoming actively engaged in our children's lives. Now, what do I mean by actively engaged in our children's lives? I'm not just talking about the baseball games. I'm not talking about the homework. These are all good things. I'm not talking about the conversations around the dinner table. But I'm talking about finding out what it is that makes your kids tick. Finding out what it is that makes them go. In Proverbs, it says to raise up your child according to their bent. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. God has put a specific bent in all of our children. And it's our responsibility as dads to find out what that is, to be actively engaged in their lives. To be the spiritual heads of our homes, looking into their lives and seeing by the Spirit of God what He's up to and what He's doing. And then getting involved in it, praying for them, leading them, teaching them, showing them. The second point to that is by building confidence in our children by telling them three things The first one, I love you. You know, for a lot of people here who maybe dad wasn't in your life, you never heard that. Or maybe you had a dad that was in your life, but he was checked out, and you never heard the words, I love you. It always reminds me of the story of the old married couple. And the wife looks at the husband one day and says to the husband, how come it is you never tell me you love me? And the husband looks at the wife and says, honey, I told you years ago when we got married I love you. If anything changes, I'll let you know. But unfortunately for some people, that's how life was. They never heard from their fathers that, I love you. So for the dads that are out there today, make sure you tell your children that you love them. The second one is to tell them that I'm proud of you. An active, engaged father will tell their children that they're proud of who they are. Not necessarily their achievements or what they do, but of who they are. It's very important for us to tell our children that we're proud of them. And the third point is to tell them that they have what it takes. That they have what it takes to do life. You know, we live in Western culture and Western society. We have a lot of conveniences, but at the same time, there's a lot of difficulties out there. There's lots of things that our children will struggle with. And it doesn't matter what age they are. As we go through this journey of life, we're always learning, we're always growing, and sometimes we hit roadblocks. And we need to know from somebody that we have what it takes. I need to know, as a 31-year-old man raising children, that I have what it takes to raise my kids. And when my dad tells me that I have what it takes, man, does that make my heart jump. It gives me, just like that young man that played football, everything I need to run through a troop and leap over a wall. So where do we see this modeled in the scripture then? How do we see this played out between the Father and the Son? Well, I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. And we're going to read this together. Now this is speaking about Jesus when he's at the Mount of Transfiguration. And there's a couple of instances where this takes place, but I like this one in particular because it highlights what we've just talked about. And it says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. So point number one, I love you. With him I'm well pleased. Point number two, I'm proud of you. Listen to him. You have what it takes, and to show you, I endorse you myself. That's where we see it modeled in the scripture. God the Father speaking to his son, telling him, I love you, I'm proud of you, you have what it takes. Well, it's easy to talk about our Heavenly Father, but oftentimes we skew our view of our Heavenly Father by the view we have of our earthly father. Some of you might be sitting here wondering, how on earth is it possible to become actively engaged with as a father or a dad when it wasn't that way for you? How do you do that? How do you take that on? You never had it modeled for you, or maybe dad never encouraged you the way that he should have, or maybe dad was just never there. Maybe you find yourself being an overbearing father to your kids, and every time you are, you can see them crumbling. Or maybe you're checked out, dad, because that's what your dad did. Or maybe you find yourself doing everything you can to be as far away from your father as you possibly can, to be as far away from what he was like, or as far away from him physically as you possibly can. Whatever the case, we have a perfect Heavenly Father who longs to fill that space in our life that was left unfilled by dad. But what naturally ends up happening is that the view we have of our Heavenly Father is viewed through the lens of our earthly father. For those of us who have good fathers, this is an easy lens to look through. Dad was great. He was actively engaged in your life. He did everything that a dad should do. And so for you to view your Heavenly Father, no problem. For those of us who had fathers who were abusive or absent, this transition becomes very difficult. Many of us have picked up untruths about our Heavenly Father through the lens of our earthly fathers. And even though many of us have had good dads, none of us have had a perfect dad. And so I'd like to share some truths about our Heavenly Father this morning as well. So truth number one is that for those of us whose fathers were absent either emotionally or if they were absent altogether, in Psalm chapter 68 and verse 5 and 6, it says that He is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. That's tough to hear for somebody who hasn't had a dad around. What do you mean He's a father to the fatherless? He's a father to the fatherless. Every single one of us has probably had a moment in life where we wish that dad was there because he would know. He'd have the answer. You know, I can't fix my alternator. Where is my dad? Or I've got this really tough question I need answered. Where's my dad? Or, you know, if you're a young lady trying to figure out who to date and dad was never there, I don't know what a good character of a man looks like. Or a young man trying to figure out this whole crazy dating thing. How do I date properly? Well, the good news is that He's a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of widows. And that for those who feel lonely, it says that He sets you in families. John chapter 14 and verse 8 says, He will not leave you as orphans. It says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's our Heavenly Father. We feel fatherless. We feel lonely. He will come to you. He's intentional. John chapter 14 and verse 23 says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Our Heavenly Father longs to come and make his home with us. His place of dwelling, his place of abiding. That's his intentionality. As our Heavenly Father, point number two, as our Heavenly Father, He gives us good gifts. We have a Heavenly Father who gives us good gifts. In Luke it says, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because of he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If we read it in another scripture in Matthew chapter 7, it similarly reads, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I'm having trouble, Mobile. We have a Heavenly Father who loves to give us good gifts. He's given us His Son. He's given us the Holy Spirit. If we seek, we knock, we ask, it's given. He gives us good gifts. In John chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus even described himself as the good gift of the Father to come and give living water. What better gift can we have than living water than Jesus himself? And in James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. Now, for those of us out there that maybe dad's ever made a promise before, sometimes this is hard to hear. You've asked dad for something, dad said, yeah, I'll get it for you, and then all of a sudden it's not there. Ah, sorry, I can't do it. Our Heavenly Father's not like that. He gives every good and perfect gift. And it says that He does not change like the shifting shadows. So if we come to our Heavenly Father, we know that we can ask Him in full confidence, and He gives us good gifts, and He's not going to change. He's not going to change. Point number three, He's intentional with us. Matthew chapter 6 says, "For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." That's an actively engaged father. To know that your Father, when you come to Him and ask Him for something, knows what you're going to ask before you ask it, that's an engaged Father. He's intentional with us. He knows what we need before we even ask Him. He knows, because He's taken the time to know you. Point number four is that He takes care of us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" He takes care of our needs. Our Heavenly Father is so interested in us, He takes care of our needs. He is such a good Heavenly Father, He feeds the birds of the air. They don't even have to ask. Are we not more valuable than they? For those of you that dad's never answered that question for you before, because you've asked dad questions, or you've asked for things, and he's not filled that space in your life, the answer is yes, you are that valuable, because your Heavenly Father says you are. Point number five is that He calls us sons. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 it says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father." Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 to 7 says, "Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir." Now that term sonship there can also be used in the idea of son and daughter. So for those of you out there that, dad, you're women, this includes you. This idea of sonship, son or daughter to the King, to the Most High. And He says, not only do I call you sons, but you're heirs as well. So you're an heir to everything that is available from the resources of heaven. This is our Heavenly Father. This is how He takes us in. And point number six is that when we're fully confident in His love, like any good father, He challenges us. He'll challenge us. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5 to 16 says this, "These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions, 'Do not go among the Gentiles or any other town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for this journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there, and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." So you say to me, well, how is that a challenge? Well, first of all, these disciples have been walking with Jesus for some time now. And He looks at them and He goes, "I see what you've got in you. You have what it takes. So don't take anything extra with you, because you can do this. You can do this. I'm sending you. Go in the full confidence of my love. heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. That sounds like an incredible undertaking to me. I don't know if I could do that. But here they are. And he says to them, you have what it takes, and I'm going to challenge you to the core because I know it's in you and I know you can do it. And a good father challenges his children to become all that they can be. And when we're full of confidence in the love that he has for us like that, it's no problem to say, okay, I can do this. I can do it. So as we come to know the truth of who our Heavenly Father is, it both challenges and encourages us to become better sons and better fathers. I just want to look at that scripture again. The glory of children is their fathers. The glory of children is their fathers. And what better picture do we have than Jesus Christ? I do that which only I see my Father is doing. I don't do anything of my own accord. I do only what He says, what He shows me. And I do likewise. Jesus gloried in His Father. We have that same Heavenly Father. And we can glory in our Heavenly Father. And when we understand these truths about who He is, we can enter into His love with full confidence as our Heavenly Father. I'd like to ask Bill to come forward at this time. We're going to do communion. And just as he's doing that, just after communion is done, I'll finish the rest of my sermon here. There's a few concluding remarks I'd like to make, but I think this is probably a good place for us to come. We can come to our Father's table and bring our hearts before Him. I just want to encourage you that as you partake in communion this morning and as you think of your Heavenly Father, and just think of all the wonderful things He is to us, just allow yourself to glory in Him.